Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, we talked about why hell must exist. We looked at three reasons for that. Number one, Jesus said that hell exists. He has more to say in the New Testament about hell than anyone. Number two, hell must exist because of the nature of God. Both His love and His justice demand it. And number three, hell must exist because of the nature of punishment itself. And so, we defended the biblical view of hell. Of course, hell is a very negative topic, as it should be. It's a very terrible place where many are heading. But this morning, I want to look at the subject of hell again, but from a positive perspective, and look at the fact that God sets up barriers on the road to hell to keep us from going there. If you have been traveling up and down Warfield Boulevard any while they're doing the construction, you'll notice from time to time that they put up barriers. They put up cones. They put up signs. And they want you to stay away from certain areas of the road work that they're doing, because if you go into that area, you'll have a severe accident. So barriers are put up on the road to keep us from going into certain places that are going to be detrimental to our life. And God has put up barriers on the road to hell. We're actually going to look at nine barriers that God puts up to encourage us not to go to this terrible place. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount. And let's be reminded this morning that many are traveling the road to hell. Just like they are traveling on roads in their vehicle, you may be traveling this morning, listening to the program. As we travel the road of life, some are traveling the narrow way that leads to heaven, some are traveling the broad way that leads to hell or destruction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that enter thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." There is a wide gate open and a broad way that leads to destruction, and many are traveling that road. You think of something that is broad and wide, you think of something that is easy to travel on. And many are traveling toward destruction because that's the easy road. It's easy to talk any way you want and think any way you want and act any way you want. That's easy. And so the broad way becomes synonymous with the easy way to live your life, whatever you want to think or do. But a narrow way is synonymous with that which requires self-control. And you have to pay attention and you have to follow the rules. And you have to control yourself to stay in your lane, in the narrow way. And so a lot of people don't want that in their life. But the narrow way leads to eternal life. The broad way leads to destruction and hellfire. And so we're traveling one of two roads, friend, not three or four, two. There's just two choices in life, the road to heaven or the road to hell. We live in a society of so many choices. If you were to travel around the world, you would see that people around the world don't even come close to having the choices that we have. I've traveled overseas different times and places, and you go to the store, if you can find one nearby, and you go into that store, you have a very limited number of things. You have a limited choice of soap to buy. You have limited choices of food. One kind of loaf of bread rather than 10 like we have today. One choice, or maybe two choices, not 10 choices like we have. We live in a culture in the United States of all kinds of choices and options. And we need to be reminded when it comes to our life with relationship to God, there's only two choices on the menu: heaven or hell. And if we're traveling that road to hell, God wants to keep us back from getting there. He tries all that he can to keep us from going to hell. And so I want to talk about barriers on the road to hell this morning. First of all, we need to remember that hell is not prepared for man. Sometimes people think that hell is set up by an angry ogre God, disgruntled God, sitting up in heaven hoping that people are going to go to hell. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, a lot of men and women are going to go there. Jesus makes that clear in his teaching. But hell was not prepared for men and women. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want you to go to hell. And by the way, on that note, it wasn't long ago where someone brought to my attention that there's a t-shirt out there that has the words on it, "See you in hell." And it reminds me that a lot of people make light of hell. It's a very terrible place to be, and we should not be making light of it. Hell is not a cuss word. Hell is not a joke. And we need to take it very seriously. And it is so serious and painful and detrimental and destructive and eternal that God doesn't want us to go there, and he's going to try all he can to keep you and I from going there. Heaven is actually prepared for us. Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 and 3, that he goes to prepare a place for us. Heaven is prepared for mankind. That's where we need to be. It's a city that's been prepared by God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. And we need to remember that God doesn't want us to be lost. And so he's going to set up barriers on the road to hell. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, we need to remember what Paul wrote there concerning God. God, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want you to be lost. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants you to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to give himself a ransom for all. Two verses later, will you come to Christ and be forgiven by his word, be baptized into Christ? Heaven is prepared for us, not hell. If we go there, we're going to a place that God doesn't want us to be. So God puts up barriers on the road to hell. Before we look at specifically what those barriers are, just wanted to make mention that there's an interesting law in the Old Testament that was given to the Jews, that when they built a house, up on the roof they were to put a retaining wall, a protective wall, so that a person couldn't fall over. Their roofs were different than ours. We tend to have a pitched roof with shingles on it and so forth. In Bible times, in Palestine and other places, the roofs were flat. And they were used for the actual part of the dwelling. You could go up there and eat. You could go up there and sleep. It was a part of the living environment of the house, and so it was a flat roof. Well, if you had a roof that was several feet off the ground and you fell off that, you're going to get hurt. And so God said that when you make a house like that, put a protective retaining wall around the top. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. When you build a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement or a retaining wall for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house if any man fall from there. Put a protective barrier to keep someone from falling over. If you don't, you're going to be held accountable for his death. I just simply mention that to say that God is very much mindful of the importance of barriers, and even more so on the road to hell. What are they? Well, number one, God gives us parents. Parents are to raise up their children in the way that they should go in God's word. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If there are any parents listening to me this morning, I want you to know that you are one of the barriers that God gives your children so that they don't go to hell. You can be a faithful Christian yourself. You can raise your children right to grow up and be faithful Christians, and you can help them to stay off that road to hell. That's one purpose that God gives you in life. It's a great and grand and glorious purpose. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Psalm 127. And we have a great opportunity to raise our children right. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beat him with the rod, he will not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from Sheol or the grave. Spanking today is considered a no-no by all the liberals and anti-God and anti-religious and anti-Bible people. I was spanked when I was raised, and it never warped me any. It kept me from doing wrong. I got a hard whipping from time to time with my father's belt, and that straightened me out. It helped me to live right. I didn't die. And we've gotten away from that. Good discipline. Not just corrective punishment or corrective discipline or corporal punishment, but also just teaching, training, good lessons. And so young people are wild, and they're living any way they want, and they're running fast and loose, full speed down this road to hell. And parents aren't doing anything to stop it. But godly parents, we can be good Christians, and we can have parents that will help us. My parents helped me to stay off the road to hell, and I'm trying to do that with my children. God gives us parents as a barrier on the road to hell. Number two, God gives us the Bible. If we'll read His Word each and every day, if we will, and by the way, I'm listing these a little bit in an order. When we're born, the first thing we have in contact with is our parents. As we get a little bit older, we realize there's this book called the Bible, and we start reading, and we can read the Bible. So we start off with parents, and then God gives us His Word. Turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Timothy was raised by a mother and a grandmother who were faithful, and he learned salvation from a babe. He had learned the sacred scriptures and heard them that made him wise unto salvation. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls, James 1:21. The Bible is a great barrier on the road to hell. Are we reading it, friends? Are we learning it? I'd be glad to sit down with you and have a Bible study, and we can study whatever you would like in the Word of God. That's going to keep us on the right track and keep us off that wrong track. We can learn what to do to become a Christian and stay faithful as a Christian. The Bible is a barrier that God has given us on the road to hell. Remember, the devil wants you to be traveling that road. He wants you to join him for all eternity there. He wants company, and he wants your company. So he's going to try to remove these barriers any time that he can. He's going to try to convince parents that they don't need to raise their kids right. And they don't need to be in the picture. You can have a deadbeat dad, and he can be gone, and you can have mothers that don't care. And he's going to try to get the Bible out of your life. Oh, don't worry about that dusty, dirty old book. It doesn't mean anything. Don't pick it up. Don't read it. Don't waste your time with it. He tells all kinds of lies about the Bible. It's too long. You can't understand it. It's not for today, and so forth. To keep you away from reading your Bible. It's a barrier that God has set up. There's another barrier that God gives us on the road to hell. And that is, he gives us examples of people who have gone there, who are going there. They're on their way. They've already gone to a place where they're awaiting the judgment day and then hell. And even before hell, it's a place of torment. This is not just some empty scare tactic. It's real. Just as real as anything that Jesus taught. He taught in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man who died and went into torment. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 24, he cries out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." And again he says, Abraham says, "You are in anguish. And there's a gulf fixed that you may not pass from here to there." Once we die, that's it. Our reward, our eternal state is fixed. And we pass from torment in Hades to the lake of fire in hell. God gives us examples of people who are going there and what they're suffering to keep us from going there. It should wake us up. We should have wide eyes toward where we're headed. 2 Peter 2, verse 4, "If God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And in Jude, verse 13, we read about the blackness of darkness. "Wild waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved forever." And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, with regard to the devil, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where are also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." We learn earlier in Revelation 13 that the beast and the false prophet are all the ungodly Roman government and Roman religion. It's talking about people. And they're going to be there with the devil, tormented day and night forever and ever. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we've got to take it very seriously, these examples. Number four, God gives us Jesus Christ as a barrier on the road to hell. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And he came to this earth and lived as a man and died and suffered so that we can go to heaven. He came to earth so that we can go to heaven. He became poor so that we can become rich spiritually. Will you come to Jesus Christ? It's a free gift of God. You have to take the gift, but it's a free gift. And taking it means believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to confess that. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's how you take the free gift. It's nothing that you deserve. It's nothing that you earn. It's a free gift, but you have to take it. You have to do something to take it. And you can be saved through Jesus Christ and live faithfully thereafter and get off that road. Exit. Get off. Get off the road, the broad way that leads to destruction. Get off while you can. Have you ever been driving down a road and you needed to get off, but you didn't know exactly when or where to do that? And you realized that your last opportunity to get off that highway for a very long period of time is behind you, and you have to just stay on it now. One day that's what it's going to be for us. We have an opportunity to get off that road, that broad way that leads to hell, to destruction. But if we keep blowing past these barriers that God has set up, if we ignore our parents, if we ignore the Bible, if we ignore the examples of people going to hell, if we ignore the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, and we just keep blowing past these barriers and blowing past our opportunity to exit and get off, one day we're not going to be able to get off. What else has God put on the road to hell as a barrier? The local church, a local group of Christians that we can assemble with and be built up and edified. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. When we worship each first day of the week, Sunday, like we're supposed to, and take the Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and give of our contribution upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. When we come together and do that, the singing together, the praying, the taking of the Lord's Supper, the studying of God's Word, the giving of our contribution, all of that builds us up and stirs us up to love and good works. And it keeps us strong and it keeps us faithful. So many people use their Sundays for themselves. Well, I've got to go play golf. I got to fish. I got to cut the yard. I got to clean out the garage. I got to barbecue. I got to go to the beach. Whatever. And we don't give God one day. We have 6 days for ourselves, and we want the seventh one too. Or in the case of Sunday, the first day of the week. We don't want to give God Sunday. We want that plus Monday through Saturday. We want all 7 days for ourselves. But assembling together in a local church, God has given us that plan. He's given us concerned brethren, Christians, if we are Christians ourselves and members of a church. There are those around us who are concerned in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. They'll come and help us get out of that trespass or that fault that we're in. They'll help convert us back to the way, James 5, 19 through 20. Concerned Christians. Preaching is another barrier that God gives us to keep us on the straight and narrow way. the preaching of God's word, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long suffering, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preaching that will build us up and edify us, that will teach us to stay away from the wrong and encourage us to do the right. Faithful gospel preaching. Instead of ignoring that and staying away from that, we should appreciate anyone who would stand before us and bring us the words of life and speak unto us the whole counsel of God. And all of that is going to help us to stay on the right road. Prayer is another barrier that God gives us. We can pray to God to keep us from temptation and keep us from the evil one. Matthew chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane to Peter, James, and John, Matthew 26, 41, "Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation." Ephesians 6, 18, prayer tops off the whole armor of God that we can put on to keep us from the wiles of the devil, where we can stand against the devil. The whole armor of God topped off with prayer. Prayer. Jesus gave an example of that, as I mentioned, in Matthew chapter 6, to deliver us from the evil one. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one's trying to get us to join him in hell, and prayer can keep us away from that. And then last of all, time. Time, each day, each 24-hour day, is actually one of God's barriers. Because we can use time to make the changes and get off the road. There's going to come a time when there is no more time. But God gives us time, and we need to be understanding that our extra time in life is not to be wasted and squandered, but it's to be understood as God's long-suffering. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise," that is, to send His Son again in return, the second coming of Christ. He's not slack concerning that promise, "as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, or not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's giving you time because He's long-suffering. And His long-suffering, verse 15, a few verses later, "account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Use it to be saved." Friend, are you ignoring the barriers on the road to hell? Parents, the Bible, examples, Jesus Christ, the local church, concerned brethren, preaching, prayer, time. Don't ignore those barriers. Get off that road to destruction and on that narrow path that leads to eternal life. And if we can help you to do that, let's get together, study together, come join us, come visit us. We would love to have you at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We hope that you'll have a good day.